It's showtime.
Sansevier, joined by my daughter producer Sam.
Well, hello there.
Hey. Thank you. By the way, two guys called back-to-back on Tom's show. One of them said, put an X because I'm too loud. I think they've been talking to you.
Put in what?
An X on the table where I should have the mic because I come off as too loud. So I'll
try to pull it back and get mellow.
Thank you to Tom Bernard, the Tom Bernard Digital Radio Network, for inviting us to be part of the network back in July. Now, if any of these people want to call and say if I'm easier to listen to, easier on the ears, 612-313-0289, 612-313-0289. And thank you to our sponsors. They include Bradshaw and Bryant, Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System, MyPillow, the Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, Thomas Brand Homes, and Frontiersman, where you walk in. You mentioned the BS show. Get 5% off a used gun. I just got a tweet from someone who heard me talk about how we did the show. Or back at our farm, we had a concealed carry. Or it's actually here. It's a carry permit. We did all the you can come to the farm. 25, 27 people came, and they took the class there. It inspired him to go get his concealed permit. So if you – Calvin, you need to go get the gun from Frontiersman. We're joined today by Kevin Cusick of the Pioneer Press. Now – Jeff, how do you want it? You are a beer aficionado. You're an attorney. You're a sports agent. You're a little bit of everything. Jeff O'Brien, what do you prefer to be identified as?
It's easiest to call me business attorney. Everything is kind of enveloped in that.
All right. Business attorney.
I want to be known as an aficionado.
I apparently
aficionado.
Don't have anyone's microphones on it.
All right.
Sorry.
At the Loop aficionado, Kevin Cusick. We'll talk to Psychic Ruth Lord. And who is on now?
We have, I think you said Eric in Denver.
Eric?
Guy in Denver.
How are you?
Bob, good. How are you?
Good. You know, you're a guy after my own heart. Now, okay, let me ask you, am I too loud?
No, I thought you've been a little loud in the past, so the comments weren't completely off base, but I just turned down the volume, that's all.
Well, see, there's a way to do it. But see, that shows that I'm engaged and excited about talking about everything that we talk about.
I would agree. So, hey, I have a comment for you. Last week you had mentioned that you don't eat corn, I think, with a nice shirt on or something because you're afraid of getting butter on it.
Popcorn in a movie theater.
Popcorn, that was it. Okay. So, Gugon. If you get oil or grease or chapstick,
there you
Gugon.
Go.
Okay, do you have to put it right on the stain or do you just throw it in with the because I'll pick some up today.
Put it on the stain, and then you have to kind of rub it out with your thumb and fingers. And then sometimes you end up having to wash the shirt again because sometimes the Gugon will stay in there, but after two washes, it'll go away.
Well, can I wash it with shirts that don't have Gugon on it, or I have to only wash it by itself?
Okay, you don't have to wash it by itself.
Okay, all right. That's really helpful.
Nice.
Thank you.
That was a regular part of the Cusick laundry processes back in the day when the kids were young.
The Gugon?
Yes. Is it goo be gone?
I think it's just goo gone.
Oh,
well,
okay.
I go in and ask, and hardware stores must have.
Maybe
it.
I'm just thinking my wife saying
sure
goo be gone,
and there was gone. Hey, now let me ask you a question. You're in Denver, right?
Correct.
Now we're going to talk today a little bit about what happened last night, where Trump just kicked ass. He won all five states and every county. Do you care about what happened in Colorado? I don't know if you lean Democrat or Republican, but how they just a lot of people claim they just went a little underhanded when, in fact, it wasn't a secret they were going to do this for quite some time.
It was no secret that they were going to do it. However, you're not giving the people the voice. You're shutting them out.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that.
And I don't agree with that. I mean, it's you got to let the people participate.
Now, do you think it's a foregone? Because we're going to talk about this too in a moment after what Trump did. It's become a foregone conclusion. It's going to be Trump against Hillary.
Yeah, pretty much.
Unless the federal government intervenes with a lawsuit or arrests her, that's the only thing that's going to stop her from
Who has the worst story come out between now and then?
I don't know that there could be anything that could be damaging to Trump.
Oh, come on.
There's a guy who said you can go in the middle of Times Square and shoot somebody and his numbers will go up. And they have.
It's a long time.
I don't know that he could be dented. Because the people that are behind him, they don't want to hear anything. They don't care.
So you think it's just kind of an up or down whether Hillary gets indicted or criminal referral?
I actually think
because I think she'll get the – I think it'll be the referral, but then I think the Justice Department will decline to
I think they will, but I think if you're Hillary, you have to be concerned, her and her people, that Trump in the George Washington poll, which is the latest one to come out
– the battleground.
The battleground poll, he's within 3 percentage points, he being Trump, of catching her. He is going to go past her. I mean, when you look at the number of people engaged from the Republican side, when it's over, more Republicans or more people voting in the primary, there'll be more people voting in the primary than in the history of primaries. George W. Bush, I think, held the record, and sure, he's going to shatter the record.
But that is because of crossover.
Wait, well, so do you believe that people are crossing over, Democrats are, just to try to make sure he gets the nomination? I don't think he.
No, but I also there's some of that, but I also think it's a whole bunch of Democrats who support Trump.
Yes, yeah, and that's why
that.
He has a good shot at winning.
Yeah, but that's why the numbers are so skewed, and I don't know what – I haven't looked at them recently, but it's still about almost 60% of primary voters this year have been voting in the Republican primaries.
Yep. Well, now, you didn't tell us, and if you don't want to, you don't have to. Are you a Hillary, a Bernie Sanders, a Cruz, a Kasich, or a Trump backer?
I don't have one. I don't have a candidate.
That's a tough thing for a lot of people.
Well, here's a question. In Colorado, are you an ardent supporter of the state's new marijuana regulations?
I don't partake, but to me it's kind of like alcohol.
Yeah, do it responsibly.
Right. And it is kind of funny because since it's passed, you know, every time I talk to somebody from out of state, oh, you're enjoying toking up now. It's like, you know what? The people that were doing it before are the ones still doing it. It hasn't really changed. We're getting a lot of people from out of state coming in and buying it because it's legal to buy it here now. But, I haven't. I don't think there's been this big turn of people that weren't smoking it or eating it or however they're ingesting it. I don't think that that's changed
much.
And,
of course, the Broncos won a Super Bowl after – it was legalized. So is there cause and effect there?
But there's a lot of celebrating.
Yeah, could be.
All right, hey, thank you so much for calling, and I'll try to keep my voice a lot more mellow.
Take care.
All right, take it easy. Now, Jeff, do you? As we were talking about this, I was thinking, you represent some beer companies, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you foresee a day as this goes, because Minnesota marijuana is legal, that there will be different marijuana companies that they're almost be viewed as beer, you know, as beer companies?
I think there's a greater chance that we're going to have more widespread legalization of marijuana than before the chance to buy beer on Sundays.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's will there be marijuana boutiques?
Could be.
Wow. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to stop growing hay and grow some of the marijuana.
Could you imagine at the Mega Mall having like one? You know, start with one little pot shop, and then
before you know it, they're taking
one on
over
each side of the
they're taking over Nordstrom's with all the varieties.
So they still have some vacancies there. From
is Nordstrom's even there yet? I don't even know.
No,
did they close?
One of them broke up. Was Bloomingdale's broke up, and they have it partitioned into all these different smaller
kiosk stores,
smaller shops.
I gotta be. I don't. Do either one of you go to the Mall of America a lot?
Not very
I don't.
Much.
The only time I go is the only two times I've been there. Actually, the only times I've been there probably in the last 5 years or more is when her sister had dance competition there the last 2 years, and then when she did the finals for the Vikings cheerleaders, and that's it. And I won't shop there because it's just it's too vast, and I just don't like it. It's just I'm not a big fan.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to your smaller malls.
But when it first opens, though, they're almost monthly.
I went a lot more then, too, because I went a lot more to the theater. We live closer
they
to it,
They had the
too.
One that sports bar that was pretty good.
Champs.
No, it was America's Original Sports Bar.
Well, that's what it was. I was confusing. It wasn't Champs.
They had a boxing ring. And
no, pop a shot.
I was there, like, Super Bowl week, and there were all these, like, you know, C-list and D-list celebrities there.
Super Bowl week for Minnesota.
Super Bowl week when it was here. So back in 92.
Now, I do want to get back to talking about the you know, Trump and Hillary, but I also this broke at the end of the show yesterday. Marsh Hallberg brought it up, and I want to ask Jeff about it because he's an attorney. Do you do anything with probate or with with will? Do you do wills?
I don't do much probate anymore, but yes, I've done some estate planning stuff more previously, but I still do a little bit now.
Well, how uncommon is it? Yes, breaking news.
What breaking news? We have a running mate.
Well, who is Cruz going with? Is it, okay, Carly Fiorina.
Ding, 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 ding.
Why would he?
Oh, really?
I mean, people. Somebody said it
that
today.
What kind of guess was that? How did you know that?
Via the Associated Press.
But it's
the Associated Press.
I heard her name.
He had a big announcement
today. But first of all, you're in second place, and you can only win on the second ballot. He's that desperate that he's announcing.
In a related development, the Twins are announcing their pitching rotation for the World Series.
That's basically – are you going to use that on the loop?
I might. Now, since Jeff laughed.
But that correlates, though. That's exactly what it is.
But here's the thing. What I find, he's clearly trying to, like, take over. He's trying to out-Trump Trump by taking over the news cycle. So Trump gives his big foreign policy
speech.
But
he's going to be mocked.
Trump will say, like, one sentence or just kind of, like, one sound to just dismiss this. He's going to go, Carly Fiorina, you know, and that's all he has to do to mock it. And Trump is back in charge of the news cycle again.
Well, I actually thought, I mean, Cruz, I expected him to come up with somebody much more dynamic and that would be more of a uniter. She never got very many points in this primary.
But she's been, like, introducing him at speed. She's been traveling around with him a little bit.
Or she owes him.
So this was – the writing was on the wall.
Do you think Cruz is hoping he could push Trump into bringing Sarah Palin back as a running mate? I don't think it's going to work that way.
Not a chance, no. Trump is going to pick a relative if he can.
Well, his wife's not going to qualify.
One of his sons.
Wouldn't shock me.
Well, do you have to be an American citizen to be vice president?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the same rules apply to vice president.
So, actually, that's a good question, too. Do the same rules also apply to Speaker of the House? Because it does go down to that at some point.
No, I think the Speaker of the House is just the same rules that apply to being in the House of Representatives.
But what happens, though, because the Speaker of the
House
Well,
here, for instance, Speaker of the House theoretically could be too young to be president.
Yes, but so do they ascend or they skip him?
I think they skip him.
They would skip him.
So if the Speaker of the House was not American-born,
I think they skip to the next.
They would skip to the next one that's eligible. Yeah.
Just look forward to the next time we have a non-American-born 30-year-old Speaker of the House who is like a star of some reality series or whatever and eventually gets into. You watch.
Oh, I don't have any doubt that that's going to be happening. But I was asking.
Something to look forward to.
Thank you for the breaking news. But
sorry.
What I was asking Jeff about, I was asking about wills. Now, what I understand is that until a medical examiner says what the cause of death was of Prince, any will doesn't have to come out. I mean, his full sister and his there's five half-siblings that are living. I think there were seven total. Filed in a probate court yesterday, basically wanting to control the empire.
Right.
So what do you think the chances are? They may not know. I wonder if maybe there is a will. And I also wonder, and I don't know enough about Jehovah's Witnesses, do they sometimes sign everything over? Or do you know if that's – is that a church or a group
I don't think they sign it all over. I do think that they are kind of expected to leave a significant contribution to the church. So
that's what makes me think he did have a will. And maybe the family doesn't know.
Or an agreement or an arrangement with the church.
But something would be there that will come out at,
it's not like Scientology. Scientology, they would just take it over.
It's a bit shocking that a guy who I think one time said that he goes through lawyers like other people go through socks wouldn't have something. But you never know. Now, I saw an interview, I think it was a UK paper or something. Londell McMillan, who had been his attorney for a long time, said, I'd never put one together. I was not aware of one. So at least one of his attorneys that he's had over the many years has been interviewed and said, I don't know of any will.
When did Miller stop being his attorney?
He was, I mean, up until the, into the 2000s.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
But he also, within the last 10 years, he was still under. He may not have thought he needed one. Well, but probably even now, he probably didn't think he needed one.
That's the thing, Bob, is that a lot of people, it's hard to get people. I have a lot of business clients that I don't think have their estate plan put together yet, because it's something, something you want to think about. You're now facing your own mortality and deciding what's going to happen with my stuff when I die. And that's a hard conversation to get people to have. They'll do stuff, buy real estate, buy and sell businesses, do stuff all the time, buy stocks, sell stocks. But to think about what's going to happen with all this stuff when I die is not an easy conversation.
Well, now, because you do deal with people who are in business and mm-hmm. you deal with celebrities. For the average person like me or Kevin, where we Kevin, I'm going to take a leap here, and we don't have millions, you know, in reserve. I'm going to leap that you're going to
lump
you in with me. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you.
No comment.
But isn't there – you could probably go on in line and get a standard will that if, like, if I – you know, if I die, I could sign things over, my wife would take it or something. You know, we could each have wills like that. Sam wants to jump in and say, I'll take it. But
I was gonna say, just give it all to me.
But, I mean, I'm sure there's a basic will you could do.
You know, we do everything from basics up to complex trusts and multiple trusts and everything. It all depends on the complexity of the state. Obviously, as lawyers, we don't like people going off the internet and grabbing a form and filling out, because then you don't talk to somebody, you don't know if you've got the right solution for what you want.
Or like Robert Shapiro's thing where
LegalZoom.
LegalZoom.
Yeah.
Well, all I'd be doing is leaving debt behind. You know, mortgage, car
payments. Here's this bill. Here's that bill. One.
But
he left me the cable bill or the satellite bill.
But here with Prince's estate, you know, you deal with this, any kind of celebrity or any kind of even like in some of the athletes, that the guys that I represent, when you have intellectual property, when you have maybe, you know, a brand where you could maybe be licensing that out to, you know, for, you know, clothes or hats or whatever it is, or doing books and things like that, or someone wants to make a movie based on someone's life. You know, those are the things that when you're dealing with a celebrity estate,
yep,
that somebody has to control. And, of course, with his, the million-dollar question is this vault of unreleased material that's sitting out at Paisley Park in some way, shape, in various states of completion.
It's getting released.
And what's going to happen with it?
Who determines that, though?
But there's a lot of questions with that. I mean, some of this stuff, you know, circulated for years. And I'm a huge Prince fan. I've heard some of it. It's not the same thing as listening to Purple Rain or 1999.
So you've heard some of the stuff that's in the vault.
I've heard some of it. It's a lot of it.
Did you work with him?
Huh? No, it's just stuff that used to get circulated before he clamped down on it as the internet spread. People were trying to trade it, and his lawyers got involved. But stuff leaked out. The story was it was an engineer. Somebody got fired from Paisley Park back in the 80s or 90s and somehow leaked this out.
Now, Ruth Lorden said yesterday, she read an interview that he had done where some of the stuff in the vault, and I don't know if I doubt it's all of it, was his best stuff that he didn't want record companies to have.
I've heard him saying that.
But
the time where he was having the dispute.
Okay, but a lot of it had to be stuff he just didn't feel he wanted out. And that's sort of, I mentioned that yesterday. I hope that if it's, I don't know if they could, is something marked, yes, this is the best I've ever done, or this is stuff I didn't like. I hope that if it's something he didn't want to get out, people don't just do it to, whoever winds up as an heir doesn't just do it to make the money and respect his wishes if he didn't want it to get out.
The big question to me is, and this is completely against his wishes, but how soon till we hear riffs of Purple Rain tunes in Pepsi commercials? I mean, he was vehemently opposed to that.
And that's
like the first thing.
And that's part of what I think, that's the importance of someone getting control of this estate. I mean, I've seen, you know, he was very zealous on any of his video clips or anything being put up on YouTube, okay? In the days since his death, I can tell you, you search Prince on YouTube and you see a heck of a lot more clips than you used to. So that might be why she's asking for this emergency appointment, so that somebody can have some control over this stuff and lock it down.
Yeah, for example, the clip of the original broadcast of the Super Bowl 41 halftime was very hard to find a good copy of on YouTube until last Thursday,
right,
and then it was all over the place because all that had been on the internet was like partial clips,
right,
with, you know, 20th generation video, just really poor quality. And then the high def stuff came out after, you know, the NFL took it upon itself to release it.
Well, and I've seen a number of stories that he'll be as big as Elvis and Michael Jackson were, where I think Michael Jackson and Elvis' estate, you're talking 55 to 100 million a year is what the estates are still making. So I mean, he's another, his heirs will make a lot of money or have the potential to.
I have read online someone saying that there is enough material there to do one album a year for possibly 100 years.
You mean stuff that he has in the vault?
Yeah. And the vault stuff can be, you know, unreleased songs, but I think he kept a lot of his live recordings. He's only done I was talking to Kevin before we went on the air. He's only done 2 live albums in his career, and it was towards the end, and it was the focus was back in the glory days of Purple Rain and with the Revolution and things like that and Sign of the Times and all those. So there's a chance that the real treasure trove is some, you know, this. There's probably a lot of live recordings sitting around of some of his very famous songs that nobody's ever heard.
Well, you know, let me ask you both the reaction, because I saw a story about the Revolution where after his death, a lot of them did get together, and now they're planning to do a tour, a reunion. They're going to reunite and do a tour. What was your? I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you my initial reaction. Well, I'll tell it to you first. I'm going to hear you guys. On one hand, it's kind of a mixed one, because my first reaction, oh, it's great that they get together and play again. But then the cynical side of me wonders, are they just doing it to capitalize?
Yeah,
to capitalize on, you know, on his death. And I don't – none of us can answer that. But
yeah. Like, for example, the two main people we talk about are Wendy and Lisa, who when the band broke up in 86, since then they literally played with Prince, I think, one time.
Mm-hmm.
For one of the award shows. So I played with them once in 30 years, and now all of a sudden we're going to go on tour and stuff. There's going to be an audience for it. And
well, absolutely there will be. The quicker they do it, the better for them.
And what they'll do is they'll have it where they have, like, guest stars who will – then they're not going to saddle, like, one person to headline it with them. They will have, like, five or six people come in and do different
versions
songs.
Because they have to.
You know, and it'll be a big deal, at least the first time.
Now, Jeff, you had mentioned that you've been a Prince fan
mm-hmm.
for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There were a slew of Michael Jackson, and I mean thousands of Elvis impersonators, and those are the two that seem to come to mind mm-hmm. when you talk about a musician who
right.
died.
Mm-hmm.
That it was felt as you know along the lines of this. Were there many Prince imitators? I mean, it's not something I'm aware of. If there were.
Not performers, I don't think, as much as, I mean, like people dress up in the costume and stuff. But it was nowhere near the level. And also, you have to remember, Elvis died a lot younger. The shock of Elvis, he was 42. So there was a more of a shock factor than even for Prince. As out of the blue as Prince's was. The first thing I heard about Prince was the first report that that Carver County Sheriff said there was a death at Paisley Park. And it was obvious to me from the whole thing with Moline that it had to be him.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, so there was that element of, had there not been the Moline thing,
you
would have thought it was a staffer.
Now, I'm sure you both remember, I was doing Tom's show when it was just last Thursday, it's not even a week,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. When he died. But I remember where I was working at the Daily Observer in Tom's River, my first newspaper job, when... and I was 18 when Elvis died, and I was actually getting ready. I was loading a horse trailer for a horse show when Michael Jackson died, and I found out because I got a phone call. I'd already heard about it, but I got a phone call from Paul Charchian, you know Charchian, right? Basically saying, well, you got a double bonus because I picked him in the Deadpool that we were doing. And you got double points because he was under, I think, was he right around 50 or under 50? What was Michael Jackson when he died?
Might have been 50. But
yeah,
also,
right,
he died
there.
The same day as
Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett.
I didn't have her.
I was in South Korea then, was family trip because my wife's family's from then. And it was kind of like the retirement tour for my in-laws. And so we woke up in the morning, and my sister-in-law came over and said, yeah, you know, did you hear who died? Yeah, Farrah Fawcett. No, Michael Jackson. And I didn't believe it.
She died first, right?
I didn't believe it.
We heard about it first.
So I'm trying to remember the time frame of this. So this is like 9.
Midday.
But it was 9 in the morning in Korea. And by then he had been dead for a couple hours or whatever. But the Armed Forces Network and even some of the Korean channels were just running CNN, Fox, and even some of the local LA stations. So that was a huge deal. And then basically the whole rest of that trip, probably like another 10 days, you channel flip on the Korean television, five channels would have Michael Jackson stuff
now,
on.
Where were you about it for Elvis? Do you remember?
I was laying on the couch. I had just golfed.
Oh.
I got back from golf. I laid on the couch. It was up on the range. And the radio was on. It was a breaking news update.
All right. And what about you? Do you remember where you were for Elvis? And
I was about 2 years old, so I don't remember.
Potty training?
Yeah, probably.
I don't remember.
Oh, look at you acting like you've been here the whole time.
Potty training. That's what I tell people about the Kennedy assassination. I was about 5 months old.
Yeah.
And I was so I soiled myself.
I was in kindergarten. I was in grades. It was either first grade or kindergarten. And all of us, they made an announcement. None of us knew. We were little kids. And my teacher goes running out of the room sobbing. And then all of a sudden, another teacher comes in the room, caught her before she got out the door. She was sobbing, and we're all looking at, who knew? I mean, to us, there was just an announcement over the, and we didn't understand what they were talking about.
Well, the one thing I'll never forget, and there's a reason for this, physical, the moon landing, because that was about New York time, about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and I was only like not even 6 years old yet.
I fell asleep.
My dad had me seated. He had a Lazy Boy chair, and he had me seated on the floor next to him. And any time I started to doze off, I got the little side of the head.
So he wanted you to see it?
he kept saying, someday you'll thank me. Thwap.
I fell asleep on the couch. I was watching, but I never saw it actually
go on. About four or five thwaps, but I did get to see. It was one small slap for man.
Then you took it. You know what? Let's take a quick break. And when we return, I do want to talk more. We can talk more about Prince. I also want to talk a little bit more about President Trump and Ms. Clinton, Secretary Clinton. But first, you know what? We're going to take a quick break in the segment. Coming up, we'll be sponsored by the Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team with offices in Edina and Stillwater. Are you looking to buy your first home? Are you looking to buy your third home? The MBT Mortgage Team is able to help you no matter your situation, whether you're a first-time home buyer or building your real estate portfolio. Their experts can help you find the best loan program for your situation. With interest rates being low, real low, there isn't a better time to buy or refinance than now. You can visit their website at mnbankandtrust.com. That's mnbankandtrust.com. Or call 952-841-9300, 952-841-9300, and contact one of their mortgage specialists today to get started financing your new home. Minnesota Bank and Trust is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender. NMLS number 490-951. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Most of the time, you don't need an attorney, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. At Bradshaw and Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you are treated fairly. So, if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
Elvis Presley.
Kind of like you just said baloney.
Baloney.
Just open it up. Right. Say baloney.
Did you have a good baloney sandwich when you left for 3 hours?
It was a ham sandwich that I ate earlier.
I'm just giving her crap.
Fried baloney, one of the great underrated sandwiches.
She had to go plug the meter.
But I also went and tried to fix our Wi-Fi.
Did you fix it?
Well, yeah, it's working now.
Let's see if Kevin's wife, the Mrs.
Well, if I'm able to be online, then it's working.
Kevin, yes, so she's on the line. A nice hello to Mrs. Loop.
Yes, Mrs. At the Loop now.
Mrs. Hello, Loop Mrs. Loop.
And also the Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, business attorney. He's also a beer aficionado. And
sorry, what was that?
Beer aficionado.
Tight.
Yeah, that's... you missed O'Brien. A coincidence or two there.
All right, so how many beer companies you say you represent?
Somewhere around 50.
It's unbelievable, and they're all the breweries, right?
And more. Well, there's a couple distilleries in there and one little winery, but yeah, and then more coming too. So it's pretty cool.
All Minnesotan, or are they from?
No,
out?
Most of them Minnesotan.
Okay, and are they all like the microbreweries, or some of them are pretty good? Well, some of them are pretty good size too.
Well, they're all considered craft breweries. Yeah, but yeah. So
now I'm thinking you could never answer this question. So, who of your clients has the best beer? I'm thinking you say it's a 50-way tie.
I have a favorite one of each of them.
A favorite one of each of
them? Of each of the breweries. I don't pick favorites amongst them, but there's a certain – if I go to their tap room, there's a certain one that I'll prefer over. If it's there, I'm like, great, let's do that
one. Is there – and this for – you know, obviously we have a lot of listeners that drink beer. Is there a type of beer that you prefer over the other?
No, it varies from season to season, what I'm eating, what kind of mood I'm in is –
like a wine. Some people, you know, yeah. Certain things go with a red and certain things go with a white.
Yeah.
Certain beers go with something.
Yeah, right, right. So, and my wife's more of the foodie, so she's pretty harsh on me. If I suggest pairing a beer with one of her meals and it doesn't go, I'm...
Really?
Yeah.
She breaks it down to the beers, too.
She's really gotten into it. She has certain beers that, you know, so I have to, now she's got me on my toes thinking about... Okay, what am I not just going to throw it out there because it's in the refrigerator? What would go good with that? And that's part of what this whole craft beer thing is about, is, you know, the whole food and wine, and now it's the food and beer. What can you pair with your whatever you're eating?
But did you have to build like an addition to the house? Cause I'm sure every one of them sent you cases or casks of beer,
no,
or kegs of beer.
No, no, we're in negotiations to get a beer for me to get a beer fridge, but. Because you can only have so many growlers at one time. So you don't want to have too many growlers in your regular refrigerator. You'll break the shelf or something. So
I'm guessing a beer fridge is more reinforced?
Mm-hmm. No,
it's all just, metal it's shelving?
Devoted exclusively to beer.
Oh, it just happens to be one that just
but is it would have to be compartmentalized to fit growlers more efficiently than
right.
a regular fridge would. I would
right.
Think.
Yeah, because a lot of these guys are doing the growlers. Not so many doing it. I mean, some more of them now are doing bottles and cans, the bigger ones. But the smaller ones are still doing the... growlers, or they call them crowlers, which is the, you know, it's an oversized can that you can just crack. And
so, well, if you put it in the garage, I assume, right? Or would you put it in that? Do you have a spot in the house picked out, like in the kitchen?
I would put if a beer fridge, I'd put it in the garage.
Well, then, you know, go around a garage sale. You can get them for like, you can get like 30, probably 30 refrigerators for about $50 each, if that's
25. Actually, you got to be careful with that. We had bought, or my wife had gotten on the Twin Cities Free Market, someone was giving away an old freezer. And it was it was from like the 1940s or 1950s, and we had it in the garage. And, you'd buy extra food or whatever. This one, we had all the kids home. And then all of a sudden occurred to us that the electric bill,
because of this
old appliance, was we ended up getting rid of it. We figured it was like almost $30 a month
just
in electricity just for this one.
It was sucking so much.
I didn't need a second place to put frozen pizza that badly. So
it might have been the Cramden's first freezer
this
refrigerator.
Remember, like stuff we had when I was a kid.
They had the Cramden's. They had a true ice box.
Red Grange used to bring the ice.
But when they got their first one, it was the one you wound up with then. Yeah. Now I had mentioned about President Trump, because he is on. I mean, he's going to get the nomination, and Hillary Clinton is going to get the nomination for the Democrats. But if you're Hillary Clinton's people or supporters, I would think you'd have to be alarmed by the fact that the latest that the George Washington, what's the rest of the name of the poll?
Battleground
poll.
Yeah, it's the poll done by the Republican and the Democratic. Yeah.
But he was within 3 percentage points, which is within the margin of error, when at one point he was 10 or more and easily in double digits. So he is gaining ground on her. So what are you counting? You're using your fingers here.
We're still 6.5 months away from the election.
I know. By then, he could have a insurmountable
lead. By the way, counting on the fingers is very underrated. It is very efficient. You often get good answers, as good as you get on a calculator.
But see, now, she has seen them. I could look for water with my fingers because it's like a divining rod. If I try to count on mine, I usually miss one because they're so crooked. I go to the next one by mistake. Now, I want to ask both of you, because Kevin, you've been you worked at in the sports department, the Pioneer Press, and Jeff, how many former Vikings do you have? I know you got Chuck. You said you had Carl too.
Carl. Tommy, Cam, and Joe Cap. Stuff with Robert Griffiths Foundation.
Okay, so there's at least four of them that you're doing it with. So obviously, you're a football fan too. Draft is tomorrow. I saw Chris Thomason has been writing a lot about wide receivers. I just don't see Spielman staying at number 23 because he wants to load up on picks. And there was, I think Chris might have had the story that he's already had two calls for that pick that he'll wind up moving.
Yeah, but I think there's truth on both sides. I think they want a receiver, and I think Spielman's going to trade out of 23 because the two main guys that I think they're looking at is Mississippi's
Treadwell,
who had that unbelievable play 2 years ago where he was going in for the winning touchdown against Auburn, got yanked from behind, the ball comes out, and his leg comes out, basically breaks in half. He rebounds it from that. He's a great prospect, and the other is Josh Doxson of TCU.
Yeah.
I think, and Spielman's history, even going back to when he was with the Dolphins, is to just try to maximize his picks. I would almost guarantee, depending on how the draft is going and what receivers, if both Doxson and Treadwell are available at 23, he will trade out. Try to trade down
assuming
later
that he's
in the first
be more
round,
good receivers.
And assume he can still get one of them with like 28 or 29. But I think that's what he wants to do. He wants to parlay the 23rd. Into a wide receiver and an extra picker.
Well, he's probably cocky because he got Stephon Diggs in, what, the fourth round or later than that?
But there's a lot of receivers. And the one guy I think is interesting for them that, again, in terms of they would trade out of the first round entirely to get him, Braxton Miller, who's considered one of the best wide receiver prospects and, of course, was –
He can play quarterback,
he
too.
Was a, but you imagine sort of throwing him – remember when Cordell Stewart was the slash or whatever? Braxton Miller – is going to be a tremendous slash for some NFL offense.
Now, do either one of you remember when he did play, and he was a terrific quarterback for Ohio State? Wasn't he Big Ten Player of the Year back-to-back years? Wasn't that
not
him?
Not sure about that, but yeah. But
I believe he was before he got hurt.
He was the Heisman candidate.
Yeah, he was the first of their and then they went through Cardale Jones, and then they – who's the other guy they had, too, before Jones took over, the one who got hurt? Miller was hurt originally.
I forget.
Miller was the guy who was the Big Ten Player of the Year. Can he throw deeper than Teddy? Because maybe he could take advantage of that. He can flip the ball to him behind the line and let him throw.
I'm not sure. He wasn't known for throwing deep or whatever. He actually started great last year as a wide receiver. I think it was against Virginia Tech. He had a great game, and I said at that point that he was in the Heisman running as a wide receiver. And, of course, then that didn't pan out.
Yeah.
But someone is going to get him second round or early third round and really
have
something
great player.
There. And again, that might be the Vikings' plan is to trade way out of the 23rd spot and then take Braxton Miller, maybe 40th or somewhere in there.
See, if I were them, I would be looking to and it's obviously been proven once again the way Denver won, not because of its offense. Their defense was phenomenal.
Yep.
Some of us picked Denver to win the Super Bowl because of the defense.
Yeah. Who would that have been? Oh, yeah. Was that you? I don't remember. I think it was Sam. but I would be looking at the best safety you could get your hands on. And also, I don't think you never have too much depth in the secondary.
No.
Yeah, but I think the safeties, the really good ones, are going to be gone. But they would have to trade up for that.
To do that. But they still need to – they can get a good one in the second or third round. I would just keep concentrating on that defense and then get by with it. You still got a great running back, even though he's going to be 31. And first of all, you don't need a deep threat at wide receiver because your quarterback can't get it to him, not with any accuracy. And you have, if you just want to have a guy to run far and fast, Cordell Patterson could do that. He's just not going to catch it.
If you have a dominating defense, then you're winning the field position battle. You don't necessarily need your quarterback throwing 60, 70, 80 yards.
A caretaker.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So, if I talk to Tommy a lot, and he'll tell you that. He said, I would have loved to have, I want a defense that's lights out. I don't want to start from my 20 every time. I want to start down the field. And you get a defense that's lights out and big on takeaways and turnovers. That's a quarterback's best friend.
Now, Tommy Kramer, when he played, he never had a great defense. When they there was, I remember, I think it was, it had to be 87, when they had their big run, Jerry Burns turned the team over to Wade Wilson. And I think it came to just before the start of the postseason that he made that decision.
That was the year that actually, Tommy got hurt that year, and he had like a pinch nerve. He had the neck injury. There was moments during that season. That's when he started platooning with Wade because his arm would just go numb. He said there was down in New Orleans. You know, there was. I asked him one time. I said, why was Wade brought in to throw the Hail Mary or throw the in the playoff game against New Orleans in 87? He said, because I couldn't feel my arm. They had to take me out. Put Wade back in, you know, because he said my arm would go numb.
I covered those games. That was one of the great runs because they shocked New Orleans. They shocked San Francisco.
The big one was the San Francisco.
And Anthony Carter had a great, you know, two games there before they went to Washington. And if Darren Nelson didn't get in the way and Wade Wilson was trying to get the ball to Anthony Carter, they probably would have been gone to the Super Bowl and won it. But I don't have that recollection. So Tommy started that game.
That game. If you go back,
I don't remember that.
Tommy started it, and then they put Wade Wilson in, and Tommy came back in, and then went out again. They had Rich Gant. I mean, they had all three of them play.
You know what
though?
That makes, because what I was remembering is I think after that game they did go then to practice at Arizona. Mm-hmm. They went at the University of Arizona, and. That would explain why, because I was almost sure it was down there. It was at a warm weather. Because I remember being at a pool when I heard the word that they had the snow. I was there with some of the other riders when I heard the word that Wade Wilson.
With a glass with an umbrella on it?
No, I didn't drink. But that I heard that Wade was going to be the starting quarterback. And that recollection made no sense because I wouldn't have been at some hotel pool if it was prior to the playoffs. So that makes perfect sense. It was after that game that Jerry Burns decided he was going to go with Wilson against the Niners.
And that team snuck up on everybody because I think they were only 8-7
because they had,
going in.
Because they got
the
killed
three,
by
they
the
had
strike
the three
team.
Strike losses with the strike team. So the actual Viking team was 8-4 that year, and that was when that defense was really, you know, with Dolman.
Oh, and Millard.
And
I mean,
Millard, they both were
phenomenal.
Joey Browner.
Yeah, Tommy's career, he started out, when he came in, he still had the tail end of the purple
people
eaters.
But they were old.
And then at the end of his career, he had Millard and Thomas and Dolman, and in between,
nothing.
He had Flotsam. I mean, he had Randy Holloway,
Duck White.
You know, he told me a story. He said Duck White one time tripped on his shoes going into the huddle in Buffalo and knocked over the defensive huddle like bowling pins. You know, I mean, that was the defense they had in the prime of the Mike Lynn era.
The only two things I remember about Duck White and Randy Holloway were these: Duck White. When he was cut by Les Steckel, I remember Rob Lear. You probably mm-hmm. don't, but mm-hmm. you do. Okay, mm-hmm. He worked for Channel 5, and he was a bulldog. But he went to his car, and Duck White doing talks. Says, "Duck, talk. Be a man and talk." So he got him to talk. I would have thought most guys would deck him. Be a man, and he did. And then Randy Holloway, after getting, I believe he had 5 sacks in a game, and he was cut that Tuesday. 5 or 6 in a game, and then Les Steckel said. He had an alley the whole game. But if you're going to cut a guy, normally you wouldn't think you'd do it after he had like a terrific game. Sam, I'm going to look that up. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to look that up because I want to get the exact – it was 5 or 6 sacks in the game.
No, it'd have to be a team record.
Yeah, it's – or a tie.
The NFL record is 7.
It's unbelievable.
7.
All right. We'll be right back, and we're going to find that. I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on, and a quick little sports thing. We'll talk to Ruth Lord and be right back.
Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its Ignition Interlock System. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated Ignition Interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's Ignition Interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com. Or call 952-224-7050, 952-224-7050, and that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. For years, I was getting a lousy night's sleep. I have sleep apnea, and I wear a CPAP mask. I would be sleeping, and I'd keep waking up because the mask would shift. I talked to Mike Lindell, the owner of MyPillow. He told me about a pillow that MyPillow has that would help, and it has helped. I sleep through the night now. I'm getting the best sleep I've ever gotten, and it's all because of MyPillow. My wife, Mary, has neck issues. She had disc replacement surgery. She now gets uninterrupted sleep because of MyPillow. My kids that use MyPillow, they all love it. If you're looking for uninterrupted sleep, go to MyPillow. Minnesota-made MyPillow, the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. It has one of the best warranties of any product you'll ever find, a decade's worth of warranty. I'd like to share the special offer with you. Buy a bed pillow from MyPillow and get one free. That's right, the old buy one, get one, but this is one of the best of them all. Two ways to get the special offer. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code THEBSSHOW. Easy to remember, THEBSSHOW, the name of this show. Or call the special 800 number, 800-320-3501, 800-320-3501. That is for the buy one, get one offer. And we have a very special offer for all of you who purchase and send us a proof of purchase. You will get a t-shirt from the BS Show, a BS Show t-shirt. All you have to do, like I said, is send us a proof of purchase. You find the information about that on the BSblog.com. I love my MyPillow, and I know you will too.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, the crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Somebody likes Elvis.
Whatever happened.
Okay, yesterday, when Marsh Hallberg was on, we introduced her to Eddie and the Cruisers, the O'Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band.
Dark Side.
Yep.
Yeah, Dark Side. And she had never heard of it before or heard of them. It's a great soundtrack.
It's a little bit before my time.
Well, but it's still great music. So is he. Who's this you're playing?
Elvis.
Okay, same sort of thing there, though. What's Cafferty's first name? I'm drawing a blank.
John.
John Cafferty.
I don't even know his name.
Okay. John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band.
Yeah, Beaver Brown Band. But the interesting thing
Cities.
Is Michael.
Cities 97.
Is that who would have played?
I'm working on it. Michael. Newspapers may not have a great future.
I got you. You've got an in.
Michael Paré played Eddie. You know Eddie of the Cruisers, and it looked more like that voice would come out of his head than the real John Cafferty. Because when you see the real John Cafferty, he just doesn't – how do you get that voice? Because he was very slight and just didn't seem like it would be the same one. Now, to answer the question that we had, Randy Holloway, 5 sacks, Vikings against the Atlanta Falcons, September 16th, 1984. So I believe then it would have been – actually, it probably would have been September 17th when he was cut by the Vikings, because it was right after the game when he set the Vikings single-season sack record, single game sack record, and it is tied with a number of guys, but only 4 people in the history of the NFL two of them had 5.5. William Gay, who later played for the Vikings for a short period, and Alden Smith, but Derek Thomas had 7 in a game, and then Fred Dean, Derek Thomas, O.C. Umanura, how do you say it?
Umanura.
And William Gay, and those 3 had 6, and then William Gay had the 5.
The Derek Thomas game, he had like sacks, I think, in that game on 3 consecutive plays at one point. It was
against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And then when he had the 6.
I think it was Jim Zorn.
It was 8 years later in 98 when he had the 6 against the Oakland Raiders. It was one hell of a player. You know what, Sam, first, I want to rip you or give you a little more crap for not the Eddie and the Cruisers. Can we come back with some Eddie and the Cruisers?
Maybe.
How about Betty Lou got a new pair of shoes?
In terms of lead in music, it says the nice intro, the piano intro to Dark Side.
Yeah, but I was thinking Betty Lou had get a new pair of shoes or whatever. All right, do Dark Side. At least you know where to find that one. We're going to teach you the
hostile work environment right now.
Not to be confused with Dark Side of the Moon, which Jeff, is completely different.
Do you and Kevin have a – would you? Is there a song either one of you would like to hear?
No, I gave it a list last week, and you weren't impressed with it.
He's a difficult man to impress.
Yeah.
It's been a sad.
I gave you three last
week. You mean an Eddie the Cruiser song or just generally?
It's been a very sad childhood.
Okay. You can give her one if you've got something better than Dark Side.
Dark Side's a good tune.
All right, then let's do that. We'll come back. We'll talk to Ruth Lord.
Yeah, I gave you the one, the Pet Shop Boys one last week that you said sounds like came from the Soviet Union.
Yes, it did. The intro to it. I thought it was some sort of a Politburo.
Might have been why I liked it.
Could be why. Oh, now I know. Bernie Sanders
approved,
fan, eh?
Approved by the Politburo. Hey, me and Bernie from
and Bernie
Brooklyn.
Sanders. You got that thing going. Bernie, unfortunately, I wish he didn't get his ass kicked the way he did last night. It wasn't as bad as Ted Cruz's ass getting kicked.
Oh, yeah.
But only because, I mean...
You know, I heard people are really mocking Cruz today. He was in Indiana, and he pointed to a basketball hoop and made a reference to the basketball rings.
Ring. And it, of all the places to do that,
oh boy.
How do you screw that up?
The only thing he could have done to help himself in Indiana was to name Larry Bird or Mario Andretti his running mate. Because once you say basketball rings, you've lost that state.
Well, he could have. At least he didn't say Harry Bird. He might have screwed that up. But is it any wonder Bobby Knight has sided with Donald Trump? After that, you know, after the basketball
game. I'm not convinced they're not the same person. Do you ever see him in the same place? Think about it.
Could be Trump's running mate. He does like doing things different.
Could be.
Although Chris Christie is like epoxied to him.
Did you see the clips of Christie at the Springsteen the other night?
I did not.
Oh, my God. First of all, he wants to be seen because he's there wearing this bright white shirt with a tie, and he's dancing around like he's like 20. Now you get those the dad, yeah, you know, dancers at Springsteen. There was one time in particular for one of the shows here where I was sitting behind the stage, and in like the third row front, you couldn't miss him, was Kevin McHale, about a foot taller than everyone
dancing.
Else, and doing the same doofus kind of, you know, tramps like us, you know. And but Christie was doing this, and about 500 different people in the audience were filming him on their phones.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
As he was doing it. It was not a good look.
He gets a lot of abuse on video, yes, or on YouTube. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Now, he deserves it.
Are you you're a Springsteen fan, obviously?
Oh, yeah.
You too?
Kind of, yeah.
I grew up in New Jersey where that's all we heard about was Springsteen and the Stone Pony, one of the biggest dives you'd ever go into, but that was his place. You know, let's take a quick break now and we'll come back. We'll talk to Ruth Lord and RuthLordDan.com at Psychic Ruth. We'll be right back. Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder, Thomas Brand Homes. But what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brand Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they are also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bath remodels to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brand Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847, or visit their website at thomasbrandhomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com. Most of the time, you don't need an attorney, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. At Bradshaw and Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you are treated fairly. So, if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need.
pop. What is this?
Oh, sounds like Politburo pop.
You just have to get with the party, Bob.
Jeff, did you know this was Pet Shop Boys?
I did not.
I had no clue when he played it the first time. They do sway quickly from the commie feel.
This is kind of awesome.
This is right before, the fall of communism. For all we know, it may have helped cause it.
Sam, did Ruth call back after you hung up on her by mistake?
Did not. Oh, no, she's there.
Oh,
there
good.
Go.
All right, Ruth, how are you?
I'm good. This phone is crazy. I tried to call it, and three times it was busy.
Well,
I don't know what
we have a million callers. Sorry. Ruth Lorden, RuthLorden.com, at Psychic Ruth, at the Medina tonight. We were with Kevin Cusick and Jeff O'Brien. And we were talking earlier, Ruth, about the revolution, thinking of having a reunion. Somebody had gotten to me, and they said something, which I want to ask Jeff about because he's a business attorney. Prince basically didn't let them use that name.
Yeah.
And now that could, I mean, if... There's no one to say no now, right?
Again, another reason why his sister's running into court and getting somebody appointed to control.
It would likely be her, right?
They want Bremer Bank. They want a special administrator.
Oh, they do.
Bremer Bank. Yeah,
okay.
They want a professional to oversee all
that's
this.
Smart.
Yeah, and that was his bank. That was where he banked, and they know his personal and financial situation. And they thought. She said it makes the most sense to have them control it.
Well, actually, that for Prince fans, that's got to be a little bit soothing to hear, because it's not like there's relatives trying to make a money grab.
Right.
They're trying to do what's the best interest of him, you know, of his estate and his memory.
Yeah, his sister Tika is doing the things that she thinks are
well,
in
the right
best interest of his estate and, you know, and the family in general.
Now, Ruth, do you because we know about what happened with Elvis after he passed and Michael Jackson. The families or the estates are making between $50 and $100 million a year. Do you see anything, when you think about Prince down the line, anything different than that happening where the estate will continue to market and flourish?
Oh, I can't wait to see see the movies that he had. I can't wait to see all of his genius put out there without constraint of what some kid that grew up in the Valley or in New York thinks the market will bear. It'll be great to see true art out there.
But see, that's why I was a little mixed on it, because he didn't want it out. Or have any of you seen stories where he said at some point
he wanted things out? He was not allowed to produce as much. They didn't let him be as prolific as he wanted to be.
I saw an interview with him where he was asked specifically about it, and will people ever hear this stuff? And he says, I'm sure they will. I don't know if I'll be
alive.
The one putting it out.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was only a few years ago.
When he did the deal a couple of years ago with Warner Brothers, where he got back rights to his masters and then distributed the couple of albums through them, there was reference, I think, in their joint press release, there was reference to the vault, the unreleased songs. They were going to do a 30th anniversary Purple Rain album.
Oh.
That didn't come about. But they had made mention of the vault. So I think when they did that deal, I think that was part of what was contemplated, was they were gonna do something with these unreleased songs.
Now, was it one of you, because I was on Tom's show earlier, and I don't know if it was someone on that show or one of you who said if they released an album a year, they could have, it'd be 100 years of releases.
Yeah.
That was you?
Yep.
Good line. It's staggering how much must be in there. Well, Ruth, have you ever heard numbers, or Jeff or Kevin, of how many songs are? Is it thousands, hundreds?
No one knows.
There's a huge amount. There's a huge vault there, because he wanted to do an album a month, I had heard, and they would only, he had that much. He was prolific, and they were only going to allow one album out every 2-3 years, and then you tour on it because of promotion money, because that's how, they felt the music business should work. And since the music business has completely collapsed and fallen apart, obviously those people didn't know what they were doing.
He may not have known exactly how much he had in there. He was just always putting stuff in there or whatever, but in terms of, total number of works, he may not have even known.
Well, yeah, that's a Creole thing. That's a New Orleans magic thing. You don't count. You don't count all your money. You heard that from even Kenny Rogers. You don't count it while you're sitting at the table. You don't keep track.
Not
bad
good
luck.
Advice.
It's bad luck.
Yeah, if you can count them on your fingers,
for example,
it's okay.
For example, Bob Sansevier doesn't even know how many horses he really has on his farm.
I could get you an estimate.
An estimate, but there's, you know, Sam, I don't know what's going on there.
I think if he sat down, he has spreadsheets. He knows how many horses we have.
You girls have been hiding it for a while. Now, come on.
You didn't add another one last night, did you, Sam?
No, not yet.
Oh, my God. That's so depressing.
And it all works. The ranch is doing well. So, yeah. See, it's not always good to know.
Believe me, you need to know. Now, Ruth, here's what I need to know, your vibe of the day.
Much will be revealed to us as we see the light.
I'll find out how many horses I have.
Purple rain has fallen and cleared the air for us to truly see how human nature and opportunity interact. There are many good things coming our way. Let's choose wisely, especially here in Minnesota, where a whole new era and respect is dawning. Meditation will be on right choices and balancing desire with what is right for us.
Very nice. And you'll be at the Medina tonight.
I'll be at the Medina tonight. Thursday I will also be at the Medina. Saturday we'll be doing my psychic healing workshop, which is a one-of-a-kind event. We will be filming it.
Oh, good.
And more will be revealed.
And and what are the times and where they can find out more information?
You can find that on my, there's a post on it for Saturday. I think it's a 2.5-hour class. It's the Ruth Lorden Clairvoyant Experience Facebook page. You can find out about it. It's very, very small. We've limited it to a small, small group. And as I say, it's not going to be done again.
Well, then they better hop on it. Hop to.
If you're interested,
all right,
this is how you do.
Ruth, thank you so much. Thank you to Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, At the Loop Now. Say hello to Mrs. At the Loop Now for us. Hello there. She's maybe listening. Thank you to Jeff O'Brien, business attorney. He represents 50 craft beer companies, right?
Breweries,
and then at least one winery, several wineries.
A couple distilleries, yep.
Well, you are a busy guy. Mm-hmm. And athletes, former athletes, too. Tommy Kramer, mm-hmm. Joe Kelly. Are you going to corner the market on former Viking quarterbacks? You going to get Dante in the fold?
I don't know.
Imagine Wade? If a former Viking made a distillery.
Wow. Any of them done that?
Not yet, no, but be a good crossover.
I would think Tommy would be a good... he'd like this beer every now and then.
That wasn't who I was thinking of.
So that would be I really like Tommy Kramer, and you have dealt with him. He was a great guy.
Yeah, he is a great guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he was when I dealt with him. I haven't talked to him in a while.
He's always fun.
We should get him on sometime.
Should we have him call in sometime?
Do it. That would be wonderful. It'd be a great time. Thank you to Jeff O'Brien, Kevin Cusick, Ruth Lorden, our callers from earlier. Thank you. We'll talk to you later. I just got to tell you anyway.